happy to be bringing the message today, and I'm kind of taking a twist off of a holiday that I don't particularly celebrate, Halloween, but there's this cliche around Halloween, the old trick or treat. Anybody ever heard that before? So although I'm not much of a fan of it, I was like, oh, I'm going to take and spin that in a godly way today. We're going to spin the old trick or treat cliche, and we're going to relate it to the Jesus version, which is treats and no tricks. We're going to be in Matthew today for our scripture. We're in Matthew 22. And before we get into it, I'll just let you know that we're going to see Jesus and an encounter with Pharisees, and they're going to try to trick him. They were challenging him, and they tried to trick Jesus, but we know the result of Jesus. He doesn't get tricked, right? Please, trying to trick Jesus. That's silly. And we get a treat. We get the treat. We get the lesson. We get the example. And then we're going to try to make sure that we can do that exact same thing as we're people who look to Jesus as the example and how to live and how to treat others and how to react. So the lesson today is going to be watching Jesus not get tricked, and we're going to get the treat. So let's read out of Matthew 22, maybe a passage of scripture you've heard before. Let's read together. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, and they said this, "Teacher, we know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me?" I'm using the word trick. Why are you trying to trick me? "Show me the coin used to pay taxes, pay for the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose portrait is on this, and whose inscription?" And I have an example right up here on the slides. "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. All right, let's dig in. So we have an encounter here between some Jewish leaders and Jesus. And they came to Jesus with a riddle. Now, I particularly enjoy riddles. But this was a riddle to trick Jesus up. A riddle who, when Jesus answered, it was a riddle they were hoping would incriminate him. They weren't really looking to learn anything. You guys get that, right? They wanted to make Jesus look silly, foolish, inconsistent. They wanted to hurt his reputation. And their initial approach, I kind of read it trying not to be sarcastic, but their initial approach was completely sarcastic. They came up to him and they wanted to suck up to him. Did you notice all the beautiful things they said about Jesus at the beginning of the scripture? "Teacher, we know you always tell the truth about things, especially when it comes to God. So, teacher, we have a question for you." And then they ask the question, "Should we pay taxes?" They tried to suck up to Jesus to gain his trust, to try to trick him with this riddle, with this question. They were buttering him up. You heard that phrase before? But Jesus, of course, we know, he sees right through it, doesn't he? The scripture even tells us he sees their evil intent. I got to tell you, I think that's a pretty brilliant tactic to try to trip Jesus up. They put Jesus, by asking this question, this riddle, this trick, they're trying to trip him up, they put him in what was a no-win situation, or so they thought was a no-win situation. If Jesus answered yes, because the question was, is it right to pay taxes? If he said yes, oh no, what was the question? Is it wrong to pay taxes? Anyway, you get what I'm saying, okay? If he says yes, you should pay taxes, then he's going to side, it's going to put him it's going to be against his people, against the Jewish people who didn't like the Romans. Am I saying that right? I'm a little tired, so okay, yeah. And if he said, no, we shouldn't pay taxes, then he's going to go against the Roman government. And that's not going to be good for him either. So really, the yes or the no is going to get Jesus in trouble depending on what side of the coin you are on. It was a lose-lose, so they thought. But that was a big mistake, to try to trip up Jesus, to try to trick Jesus. They had to be a little bit better than this. And Jesus saw through it. He knew where their hearts were, and he was able to respond. So the dialogue goes after that. Jesus says, hey, show me one of your coins. Whose face is on it? Whose name is on it? Well, Caesar's, they say, of course. Duh. You've seen coins. And then Jesus says the simple thing that you've probably heard before. Pay to Caesar what's Caesar's and give to God what is God's. He'd outsmarted him. You can't trick Jesus, people. Come on, Pharisees. In fact, if you think about Scripture, they tried it multiple times to trick Jesus and put him into these no-win situations, these lose-lose situations. Three of them that I could think about were in John 8. They come to him and they say, oh, Master, we caught a woman in the act of adultery. Our law says that she should be stoned. What do you think we should do? Anybody remember Jesus' reply? If you don't have a sin, you go right ahead. Throw that first stone. Ugh. Foiled. So they try again. In Mark 2, we see an example. Our law says that no work should be done on the Sabbath. Why are you letting your disciples do stuff on the Sabbath? They're picking grain on the Sabbath. And Jesus said the Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. Ugh, rats, we didn't get him again. He outsmarted us. And then there was another time that I could think of in Luke 10. Master, if the greatest commandment is to love God and serve my neighbor, then who exactly is my neighbor? People next to me and across the street, that's my neighbors, right? That's all I have to do. And Jesus said, let me tell you a story about the Good Samaritan. You heard that story before? They tried this all the time. They tried to trick Jesus. They tried to trip him up. They tried to discredit his teachings time after time after time. They were asking these questions in an attempt to reduce Jesus' ministry just to a bunch of religious rules. That's where they were, right? They wanted the religious rules, the black and white. Okay, here's what it says to do. This is what we're going to do. But they wanted to show Jesus confused and foolish, and it never worked. Consistently, Jesus taught and insisted that religion is about, and faith is about, not about rules. It's not about taxes or paying taxes or stoning and not stoning. It's not about working on the Sabbath or not working on the Sabbath. It's not a discussion about really who is your neighbor. Those things really didn't matter, what they were throwing at him. What he responded to was to show that what is important is your relationship with Jesus. That it's not about rules and picking sides, but your relationship with him. And your relationship with a loving, beautiful God. I think the Pharisees were afraid of Jesus. They were afraid to make changes. They didn't want a society full of compassion and tenderness like Jesus was preaching and showing. So they kept a distance from him. And then they tried to trick him up and think of legalistic questions that could maybe confuse him. They were afraid of changes they would have to make in their hearts to accept this beautiful person and what he was teaching about faith and about God and the kingdom of God. And you got to remember, I give the Pharisees a lot of grace. Because this was something they had been living with their entire life, and all of a sudden one person comes in and tries to change everything, right? Anybody here love change? Right. And that depends on the kind, was what was said, and that's true. Jesus was trying to change things in a positive, better way, to love people, to show forgiveness, grace, and mercy to others. but they didn't want to hear it. Jesus was changing everything from a religion of law-abiding to a relationship with God, and it upset the apple cart, and they didn't want to have anything to do with it. So they tried to trick him multiple times so they didn't have to make those changes, so they could stay in their rut of doing what the law said to do. I have a lot of grace and mercy towards the Pharisees because we sometimes are the Pharisees, aren't we? Thinking of this sermon and all the things that they did and the times they tried to trip Jesus up, we could look at it too and just point at them, oh, what horrible people they are. But if you could be honest with yourself, we do the same thing. We hear Jesus' teachings and we have two ways to go. We can accept his teachings and replicate and change our behaviors and do that, or we can say, no, I'm not going to do that. And in fact, I'm going to throw a bunch of questions at Jesus to try to confuse him and to confuse everything so I don't have to make these changes and I don't have to accept this. We also throw out tricky questions, right? Of uncertainty. Of doubt. From all kinds of places in our life that they could be coming from. But we can do the same thing. I'm not sure where these questions come from in our lives, in our histories, and what has happened to us. It could come from a lot of different things: fear, anxiousness, anger, doubt, unhealed trauma. All of those things could cause us to say, yeah, Jesus, I hear you, but I got a lot of questions here for you. I gotta try to trick things up, and I gotta ask the questions to make it good for me. And I'm not sure where all those things come from. We all have those things, but I can tell you that they come, the initiator of those thoughts is the devil playing with your mind. I can tell you that. Confusion, anxiousness, doubt, all those things come not from God. They are not godly things. So if those things come into our minds, that's from the enemy. And what he's trying to do is everything that he possibly can to destroy our relationship with God. I read some, but not all, of a book called The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe fashion. It's pretty good. I don't know why I didn't finish it. I say that every time. But anyway, in it, C.S. Lewis is writing a dialogue between two of the devil's angels, demons, if you would like. It's a dialogue between two of them. One is named Screwtape. He's the seasoned veteran. He's the demon who knows it all. He's been doing it for a long time. He knows exactly what to do and say to get into our minds. And Wormwood is his nephew, and he's the rookie. And he's trying to teach Wormwood how to be an awesome, magnificent, fantastic demon. And one of the things that he says in the book is this. Screwtape tells Wormwood, this is what you have to do to these humans. This is going to work. You raise doubts in the person's mind. You fill it with questions of reason and rationality. Make them ask questions like, why is there war? Why does God permit suffering? What about all those religious hypocrites? These are questions I've asked myself before. Has anybody else asked those questions? Yeah. And those are questions that are put into our mind by the enemy to trick us and to trip us up. They're the trick to try to get us away from the treat. And the treat is the love and a relationship of Jesus. We need to take this example and the other examples that I mentioned, and I quickly mentioned and didn't go through them in depth, but take those examples of Jesus not getting tricked by those things and understanding where those things are coming from. And you know, Jesus is awesome, right? Jesus is Jesus. He's always got the right things to say. Oh, man, if we could just be like that, right? But he knew what to say when the Pharisees were coming at him and trying to trip him up and trying to trick him into things. We need to realize where those things are coming from in our lives when those things come into our mind, like the example that C.S. Lewis writes about in the Screwtape Letters. Make them raise doubts. Oh, that'll definitely hurt their relationship with God. And it does. If we grow stronger in our relationship with God, we read scripture, we see these examples, we can try to be a step ahead of the devil. That's hard. Anybody else got a perfect way to do that? You can talk to me afterwards, because I'd like to know. It's hard. But we have to just grow in our relationship with God. We have to stay attached to Jesus. We have to learn about him. We have to have relationships with other Christians when we might, oh, am I reading this right? Yes, run the other way, please. Let's not get tricked. Jesus didn't. And let's enjoy the treat, a beautiful life in Jesus and with our Savior in the middle of it all. We can use Jesus as example in this. He was ready for their question. He saw right through it. He understood their heart. Let's all attempt to do the same and strive to do the same. We need to be ready because the tricks are going to come. That's for sure. Just so you know, you can't avoid them. But when they do come, I hope we enjoy the treat and we don't get tricked. We enjoy the treat of just resting in our Savior's arms and learning from him on how to handle that when the devil's coming at us full force. Because what that's trying to do, those tricks that are coming your way, those lies from the devil, the doubt, the uncertainty, it's all just his lies to get us away from Jesus. So go running back to the treat, the giver of all the treats. Go running back to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this message today, for the revelation of this scripture and how we can apply it to our life, God. Thank you for setting the example in Jesus on how he handled people coming at him and trying to destroy his ministry. And God, we know that those things are going to come to us. And I just ask that you give us the wisdom, the strength, the knowledge, the power, the relationship with you to stay attached to you and to see those things that are coming from the devil and to not be tricked by him, but to enjoy the treat of a beautiful life with Jesus, a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with the one who gives us joy, peace, happiness, gentleness, all those things that are opposite of what the world and what the devil is trying to give to us. God, we thank you for this time together. And help us as we sing this last song, just meditate on these words and really just go deep into our hearts to find out what we need to change within our hearts to be closer and closer to you, to not get tripped up so we can enjoy the treat. In Jesus' name, amen.